بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, one of the things we see is in itself good, which is an interest in Islam, an interest in understanding the deen, learning the deen, an interest in trying to do the right thing, and so on and so forth. So these are, alhamdulillah, good things. But this world is full of things which are good, but which in excess, or if they are done in a way which is different from the preferred and correct ways, then that makes it evil. And that's the same thing applies also to this interest in deen. Where the interest is purely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that I want to learn in order to practice. My idea of learning is to practice, it is not anything else. And so I learn something and I put into practice. Alhamdulillah, this is beautiful. This is, the way it should be done. We have the famous story of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, who took 12 years to memorize Surah Al-Baqarah, and then he invited all his friends for a dinner. He slaughtered a camel. So they asked him, why did it take you so long? Why did you take 12 years to memorize this one surah? And he said, the way we used to learn with Rasulullah was that you would take 10 ayats, we would memorize those 10 ayats, we would understand those 10 ayats, we would reflect on them, we would introspect to see how our lives resonated with those or didn't, and we made changes, we correct ourselves. If there were any masail, any issues of deen connected with those ayat, we made sure that we followed those things. If there were any ahkam, any rules, any orders commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we made sure that we followed them. And only when all of this was over and we were happy and content with what we were doing, then we would go for the next 10 ayat. So it took this long. Now this is a clear indication of how deen is to be studied, which is with the intention of practicing it and the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, one of the signs of the last day, approach of the day of judgment, is that people seek knowledge without concern for the deen. They seek knowledge for reasons other than deen. Number two, he said that they study the deen with no intention of implementing any of it. They're not studying in order to practice, they're just studying for the sake of studying. There's no intention to practice the deen. And he said the third thing is where they seek the dunya with the amal of the akhirah. They seek the dunya by doing things which are for, or which should be exclusively for seeking the akhirah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from this. In another hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah said, do not seek the knowledge of Islam for these three reasons. And the reasons he gave was, he said, do not seek knowledge to argue with the fuqaha. Don't seek knowledge to argue with the jurists, to argue with the ulama, to argue with the scholars. Number two, he said, do not seek knowledge in order to look good before the sufaha. He said, do not seek knowledge in order to look good before the fools, ignorant bunch of people. And even you have a little bit of knowledge and they say, oh, mashallah, mashallah, this person is so knowledgeable, and he's such a fantastic, great scholar, and so on. The simple question is, how do you know? How do you know he's a great scholar? Have you some mi'ar? Have you some way of judging to say who's a great scholar, who's not a great scholar? I mean, do you know anything about the levels of scholarship and so on, right? So you say he's a great scholar because most people say you're a great scholar as long as you say things which they like. This is the reality of dunya, right? Who's a great scholar? Somebody who says the kind of stuff I like to hear. So if I tell you that zakat is not fard on you, I'm a great scholar. If I tell you that zakat has to be paid only one time in your lifetime, I'm a great scholar. I'm telling you to do something which is haram. I'm telling you something which will put you in the hellfire. But you do not even have the knowledge to understand that, right? I mean, your ignorance is, what is great here is your ignorance, not the knowledge of the scholar. But people don't understand it. So, oh, so-and-so is a great scholar. So, Nabi Sassam said, do not seek knowledge in order to look good before the sufaha, look good before the fools. And then he said, do not seek knowledge not to look good, not to argue with scholars, and do not seek knowledge to attract the people towards you, to attract the eyes of the people towards you, to become popular, to become, you know, this great sheikh who has so many followers on Instagram or whatever it is. So don't seek knowledge for these three reasons. So don't seek knowledge to argue with the scholars, don't seek knowledge to look good before the fools, and don't seek knowledge to attract the eyes of people, meaning to become popular with the masses. Truly, it is such a tragedy that how shaitan fools and turns something which, you know, should be a means of getting to Jannah into something that puts your Jannah in peril. Where now we don't know if I'm going to Jannah or not because of the way I'm doing something which in itself is good. But that good thing I do in a way which is haram, which is prohibited, and so therefore that good thing turns into evil. This is very, very important to keep this in mind, to keep on alerting ourselves, warning ourselves not to fall into these traps of shaitan. Because that's what this is. These are all traps of shaitan. And if we fall into them, then we go where shaitan went. My brothers and sisters, it's a very, very important thing. Asking questions, you're not here prohibiting the asking of questions. We're just saying, go to the niyyah. Ask yourself, why am I asking this question? Because in amal amal bin niyat, we know this hadith and we have heard this multiple times and so on and so forth. And therefore, we should be clear in our minds about the truth of this hadith. And the truth of the hadith is that, ask yourself, why am I asking a question? There is only one reason to ask a question. And that is to clarify how must I act in this case. So I heard about something, I want to practice it, but I have some confusion, some doubt, I need a clarification, and therefore I'm asking a question. That's it. If the reason is anything other than this, then believe me, don't ask that question. Clarify first, make sure that you correct your reason before you ask yourself, should I ask this question? And the answer is yes, my niyyah is good, alhamdulillah, I intend to practice, then ask the question, and as soon as you've got the clarification, practice the amal. Many people ask questions to put the shuyukh, whoever they're asking, they want to show off their own knowledge, so they ask a question, they are not interested in the answer. They want to show how much they know. Some people ask questions because they want to put the sheikh in a tight spot. So they ask a question which is potentially embarrassing, a question which can lead to difficulties, and so they ask these questions. And, you know, they put the sheikh in a tight spot. Some people ask questions because, again, not because they want answers, not because there is any amal or practice involved in it, but because they want somebody else to hear that answer from the mouth of the sheikh. So instead of telling somebody that interest is haram, because it is, you wait for a time when there is a sheikh around and the other person is also there, and you say, "Sheikh, is interest halal or haram?" And then the sheikh will say interest is haram, so this other person heard it from the sheikh. Now, three different reasons. The first two are reprehensible. They are, you know, that kind of questioning is haram. Literally, I mean, it's something which is terrible. It must never be done. Don't try to embarrass a sheikh, a teacher. Don't ask questions because you want to show off. Never do that, because you destroy your own amal, and embarrassing a teacher is not beneficial to you or anybody else. The third kind of questioning is not bad. This is something which is sometimes a sign of wisdom, because sometimes people know the right answer. They even know that there's really no need even to tell them. But since they are continuing in their disobedience and disobedient way of living, you say, well, you know, somebody's got to tell them. And that somebody has to be you, because you are the closest to them. But then you know that these people, they will not listen to you. Not because what you're saying is wrong, but because you are saying it. Very sad to say, but I've seen this happen many times with parents and children. And to also a great extent with the spouses, husbands and wives. So the parent knows, the father or mother knows, that what the child is saying is right, but they will not accept, they will not listen, only because this is my child. Ah, yeh to samne ka bachcha hai, kya bolega? This is some, you know, little kid who grew up in front of me. What the hell does he know? Please understand that one of the reasons why some of the seniors of the Quraysh rejected the message and teaching of Rasulullah was for precisely the same reason. They said, he's a kid. I mean, he's my nephew, right? He's my nephew. He literally sort of played in my lap when he was a little kid. Why should I listen to him? So this arrogance of looking down on somebody because they are young, this is destructive. This is haram. This is prohibited. This is destructive. This is something which is totally and completely avoidable. It must be avoided. There is no two ways about this. So also with husbands and wives, may Allah have mercy on us. Instead of being support for each other, even though some of the youth today, I want to get married because I want this wife of mine to be my greatest supporter in deen. And then you get married and your wife is trying to tell you something, but then you get offended because you say, oh, what? You know, how can you know more than I do? Well, you just said you wanted her to be a supporter in deen, and she's trying to support you in deen, but you don't seem to, you know, like that. So, rejecting of something which is good and beneficial for you can only harm you, not anybody else. My father, Rahmatullah Ali, used to say, if three people tell you that you are drunk, lie down. He used to say, so it's his way of saying, if you are rejecting feedback, you're doing it to your own detriment, right? So he would say, if three people tell you are drunk, lie down. Because you reject the first person, no, I'm not drunk. All right. The second person also tells you, look, you know, you're walking in this wavy fashion, which is not normal. So maybe you're drunk. So, no, I'm not drunk. All right. So you're not drunk. And the third person comes to you and says, hello. You know, how many, what number is this, right? And you're seeing six fingers. You're drunk. He said, no, I'm not drunk. So then what happens? Then you do something stupid. You injure yourself, you kill yourself, you kill somebody else. So if three people tell you you're drunk right now, so if three people tell you that something is wrong, then something is wrong. Believe me, I mean, whether you believe it or not, whether you agree with it or not, all of that makes no difference. Because if three people are telling you, meaning, you know, if more people are telling you something, that there is something in you that requires correction, my brothers and sisters, the only person in the world who was free from sin, who was free from the need to be corrected, was the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Everybody other than him, irrespective of who that person is or was and is in need of correction. And we have absolutely fantastic stories of our Salaf, of the great scholars, of our predecessors, who took correction from the most unlikely sources, but they did. So for example, I'll tell you one wonderful true story. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh came into the masjid, and before Salatul Maghrib. So he came into the Maghrib, to the masjid just before Salatul Maghrib. And he was about to sit down, because the general rule is that when you are in the time of the Mamnu'a Salat, a time when Salah is prohibited, which is the time of Tulu and Ghurub and Zawal, so the time of sunrise, sunset, and when the sun is directly overhead, these are the three times when it is preferred not to make sajda, not to pray. There are some specific instances where you can make sujood and so on, but I'm not going to do that. I will not go into that just now. But anyway, so very close to Maghrib, and we see this, incidentally, on a side note, this is something that many of the people who come into masajid, the brothers and sisters, I see this all the time. They come like there is 1 minute for Adhan, 2 minutes to Adhan, and they pray Tayyatul Masjid. It is better for you to just sit down and not to pray. Because the hukum of not praying in the time of Ghurub, sunset, is stronger and more important than actually praying. So this was the case. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi was going to sit down when there was a young boy who was sitting there, and he said to Imam Malik, Rasulullah said, do not sit until you have prayed 2 rakat of Salah Tayyatul Masjid. And Imam Malik immediately raised his hands and made Takbir Tahrima, and he prayed 2 rakat of Salah, and then he sat down. So after Salatul Maghrib was over, his students, they asked him, they said, Ya Imam, it is your fatwa, it is, you know, you have said that we must not pray Salah at this time, but we saw that you prayed. Imam Malik rahmatullah said, the boy quoted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what do you want me to do? When he quotes the Nabi alayhi salam, I obey. That's it. I'm not going to correct the boy, even though I could have done that. I'm not going to tell him that what you are saying doesn't apply right now for this season, that reason. He said, For me, to obey the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is primary. There's nothing which supersedes that. So he quoted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I obeyed. Now see this beautiful akhlaq, see this beautiful way of thinking, see this beautiful decision making. where he's saying that the Nabi alayhi salam is not, his word is not open to argument. He says we obey. And that's what I want to leave you with, which is the question, the issue of learning deen. Let's correct our niyat. Let's correct our niyat, our intentions of why we want to learn Islam, and make sure that the learning of Islam itself doesn't become a problem for us, instead of being a source of great mercy and blessing. It should not become a reason for trouble for us, where after taking all the time and trouble to study the religion, we end up with nothing in the bag because our niyyah was wrong. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك الله.